Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show. How's everybody doing? It's a gorgeous morning. It's supposed to get a little warmish today. But at some point, weather might turn ugly. And that kind of leads us to the folks I have here. We're going to talk about all kinds of things that refer to either weather or natural acts of God, acts of just mistakes.
Acts of man.
There you go. I'm joined by Pat Scarborough. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Bruce.
From the Wayne County Health Department. Along with Pat is Catherine Singleton. How you doing, Catherine?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bruce?
I am outstanding. Thank you both ladies for joining me today. I really do appreciate it. I had not realized. You know, yesterday, it hadn't rained for about, a week and a half now. Yesterday was such a nice day. Today is supposed to be such a nice day. And since yesterday was the first day of September, today's the second day of September. We're now asked to think about preventing disasters.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, I guess this is when you actually, this is what would be when you prepare for the rainy day,
right? Well, right. Actually, if you'd have been prepared, you'd have known that it was preparedness month last month. Coming into this month, you'd have been prepared ahead of time to know that September is always National Preparedness Month.
Now, why is September always National Preparedness Month? You would think it would be February or something going into tornado season.
Actually, it became a declared National Preparedness Month after 9/11, which is in September.
Oh, I see.
So after that, they started a bioterrorism program in you know, the federal level, and they started doing Preparedness Month after that. So
really?
It's always in September because of September 11th.
So this is not formed, not started to get ready for like blizzards.
It is. But that's part of it. But the reason they declared it for this month is just kind of ties it back to that.
Pat's job at the Wayne County Health Department is prevention coordinator, right?
Preparedness and prevention. Don't leave out half my job.
Preparedness and prevention. I don't mean to, because you'll tell me and I won't be prepared, like
exactly.
You said. And Catherine, I don't know what Catherine does.
Nobody knows really what I do.
Catherine is, I know that you're the PR.
I do the marketing director.
She's our Facebook guru.
She's a Facebook guru.
Facebook,
so if you
Twitter.
Don't, you should actually like us on Facebook if you're on the, you know, if you have, you know, computer access.
Yes, you
like
should
the
like
health
us
department, because we've been doing a feature for the last few weeks of the Meet the Health Department.
Preparing for the preparedness.
And
well, that.
You know, you can meet everyone who works there. Each week we have a person of the week.
Hold on a second. All right.
Yes.
All right. Before this is on Facebook, right?
This is on Facebook.
Before we get into that, I got to know something about the timing of the Wayne County Health Department. Was it because we were waiting for July 31st for Mr. Cavacci to leave?
No, Mr. Cavacci actually made the list.
He was there. His week was the week he left.
Yeah,
that was our party week.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet it was.
No, it was not timed for that. It just happened that way.
It just worked out that way.
Just worked out
that
way.
I like that. That works pretty good, though.
Yeah.
You know, we had to start week number one with the boss.
Yeah.
Right.
Was Clark even healthy by then, or is he still sick?
He was healthy.
He was a little
woozy.
Little woozy still from his.
Well, there's a question. How can you be disaster preparedness? He had a personal disaster with a tick bite.
Exactly.
What is the preparedness for that?
Well, that would be wearing
prevention.
And that would be wearing, you know, long sleeves and not going out in the woods.
Yeah.
You know,
not
that's
spending
a good
long
way.
Periods of time in the woods. And then if you do,
don't sleep in
somebody,
a hammock.
Yeah.
Out in the
don't sleep in an uncovered hammock.
Exactly.
Under trees.
That's how you are prepared.
And if you do that, then you need to have somebody check you for ticks.
I got to tell
you. We have an answer for everything.
I must agree with you. I'm not going to. I don't know who you're going to get to volunteer for that job.
Oh, checking for ticks.
Check Clark for ticks.
Well, he has a family.
He does have a family. I'm not suggesting
he's
got
a mom and dad.
I'm not suggesting that needs to be done at the health department.
We actually don't do that at the health department.
Okay, so that wasn't.
So don't come out there with your ticks.
That wasn't demonstrated on Facebook.
No.
All right, in addition to the Facebook, where else can folks find out information about the health department?
Oh.
You've got the WCHD website, right?
We do.
And we have things posted on
What's
the radio
website? I'm close to that.
WCHDIL.com.
WCHDIL.com. It's a com as opposed to
com,
how
yes.
comes a com instead of government. I guess there's probably all kinds of WCHDIL.
We used to have an org.
Yeah.
And it was really long.
Yeah.
It was like Wayne County Health Department. Or actually, it was Wayne County Health DEPT, which was confusing.
Yeah.
So we wanted to go with something simpler. But I think we got it changed whenever we got a new provider for
internet,
things like that. Mm-hmm. And they did all that for us, so they gave us a .com.
Wow, now that's handy.
Yeah. So that's we didn't actually have to do anything because we're not really the most technologically advanced.
Well, Catherine is.
No, I can do Twitter and Facebook. Yeah.
And you know, Clark is our IT guy as well as our administrator.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, that's why. So we do manage to have a web page and a Facebook and a Twitter and mm-hmm. Catherine posts on there every week and multiple things every day.
What's the Twitter handle? Because I'm not following you on Twitter.
I think it is Wayne County HD or something like
that. It's WCHD, I think.
Okay, folks, what's the easiest way?
Yeah, the hashtag is WCHD.
The @ WHD, your handle.
Yes, okay. Yes.
All right. Well, see, now that's handy.
I didn't set that up. That was set up by Rosie, our AmeriCorps volunteer, who has also left us.
Oh, your AmeriCorps volunteer, she was just in med school, part-time anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No, she worked for us for 2 years while she was getting ready for med school, but she left us in July to go to med school. So she's out in West Virginia right now becoming
a
doctor. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Which school? Was Charleston College or something like that?
Yeah,
it's in West Virginia.
It doesn't really matter.
I can't remember.
Yeah. You know,
it's not in Charleston.
We haven't talked about disaster preparedness at all, and that's
what
you're here for.
No, we haven't. We're doing good.
Okay, we're fine.
We're good.
I'm not going to ask it now. I've got a great one on disaster preparedness.
Just do it,
I'm
Bruce.
Gonna wait. No, I'm going to wait till I've got 5 or 10 minutes for you to answer.
Okay.
So when you're talking about disaster preparedness, and it started as working for getting ready for chemical attacks or something like that after the 9/11
attacks?
Well,
that's the actual
that was the formation
of it? We've always had, you know, preparedness about tornadoes, weather-related.
Civil defense. I mean, you can go back.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had that.
Decades.
But the actual declaration of National Preparedness Month actually started after 9/11.
So do you get to take the whole month off?
Sure. It's actually the hardest working month of the year for me.
Is that right?
So, well, you know, we have the Fall Fun Fest coming up, and we've got some things planned for that, and that's kind of why we want to come talk.
What are you going
to
do at the Fun Fest?
We have a bunch of giveaways.
Are you going to be in the chamber tent?
We are, yes. Is it the chamber tent?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
We are.
The one there on 2nd Street?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
We have a booth every year, but, you know, we usually try and promote it, and we're promoting that. And we're also promoting prevention of tick bites.
West Nile prevention, yes.
You're about 3 months too late.
they can still get you
are
now.
They still, are they still out and about with it?
I
guess
still
with it
warm.
Being over 90 degrees, yeah.
Yeah, it's still warm out.
When do the ticks get killed?
When do we get a good frost, I guess?
Is it frost to kill them off? Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. I don't know.
I try not to be out where they're at.
I don't go in the forest. Yeah,
I don't either.
I don't go in the woods very much. But
not a
people
big woods
do.
Girl.
So, they need to be.
I'm not a mushroom hunter or a, you know. Yeah.
Hunter.
Ginseng hunter.
Deer hunter.
Any of those.
See, that's the thing. Folks are out there right now. This is probably good to remind guys and gals who are going out to... put up their deer stands because now would be
right.
Now's
the time to do that.
You wouldn't know. I'm going to ask a silly question. I was wondering if the bow season has started yet. Does it start on?
It starts October 1st.
Is it October 1st?
Yeah.
I didn't know if it's September 1st or October
1st.
I think that's right.
Okay, so folks are now scouting.
Their places and getting their stuff up. So yeah, I mean now's the time. Their people are in the woods and they need to be reminded that check for ticks.
Tell me a little bit about the drills. I mean, do you do a zombie?
Well, we actually
disaster?
Did.
I know you. I thought you did one.
We actually did a exercise about two weeks ago with the fire department and the hospital
and EMA
and the EMA and the ambulance department. We did it back there behind the police station in that Southwest Park.
Okay.
And we simulated a train wreck.
Oh yeah,
and we had a bunch of victims from the community actually, but the AHEC
had a chemical spill, right?
Yeah, the AHEC class from the high school that goes to the hospital there with Beth Wilson.
Yeah.
A bunch of her kids came out, and they were victims, and we were out there.
How'd that go?
It was really good. I wasn't a victim. Catherine was a victim.
I was a victim.
Did you live or die?
I lived.
She lived.
For you?
After I got hosed off.
What we had to do was they had to be hosed so that fire department was able to come out and practice being in full gear, hosing off for a chemical decontamination.
So you just got – so did they actually hose you down?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I have pictures. I wanted that to be my Facebook picture for her. But
sounds like, Catherine, you went to a riot.
Well, it was good.
I do have some sort of an idea now, yeah. And it was 2 weeks ago, so if you remember 2 weeks ago on Saturday, it was
a cool morning. Cool morning
in August.
Saturday morning we've had.
Yeah. And the water department, I'm just going to say they don't heat their water.
They don't heat the water coming out of the fireplace.
No,
do
they don't. Mm-mm.
No.
So,
but they were able. She was able to ride an ambulance.
Did they put it on your full bore? Or did they?
No, not really. I mean, it wasn't full bore. It wasn't like going to a riot. No, it was very, very calm. But it was cold, and they did have to hose you off. But
I went to a chemical spill drill, and a riot broke out.
Yeah, exactly. But then, like Pat said, we rode in the ambulance, and the ambulance told us what we needed to do, and then they drove us over to the hospital.
Decontamination tent. And that was heated.
Oh, good.
Yes,
it was very warm. They were able to go through that. But it was a good exercise. We were able to practice. The hospital was able to get out their tent and practice. And the firemen were in their full gear,
No kidding.
And going through the motions. And it was good for the kids that saw it. We had, we had a bunch of, their high school age kids to see it, and they didn't understand. They're like, why is it taking so long? We'd be dead by now. And then to understand, well, you know what? A fire department's got to, they've got to take precautions and be prepared for how they come in and respond to an emergency. So it was good kind of all the way around.
Yeah. So a pretty successful drill.
Yeah, it was very successful, yeah.
Well, outstanding. That's wonderful. Yeah. I'm joined this morning by ladies from the Wayne County Health Department, Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton, here on the Bruce Dickey Show. And we'll be back, talk a little bit more about what's going on out there, along with more on disaster preparedness, that Disaster Preparedness Month, when we return to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM and FM, WFIW in Fairfield, after these words.
She wanna live a hit it, dance it, on the road to alcohol, and I was just a soldier on the way to Montreal. Well, she pressed her chest against me about the time the jukebox broke. Yeah, she gave me a peck on the back of the neck, and these are the words she spoke. Blow up your tent, go where you fight, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of pizza, chimpanzee on your home. Sat there at the table and I acted real naive. Bird knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the fire and she did the hoochie goo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your teeth, go where you fight, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of pizza, chimpanzee on your home. Go!
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined by guests today from the Wayne County Health Department. It's Pat Scarborough along with Catherine Singleton. We've been talking about disaster preparedness, and probably we haven't talked to the first thing about how to prepare for a disaster. Let's talk about what do folks need to have for disaster preparedness? Like in their home, what do you need to have?
Well, the one thing that we try and stress is that you have, you know, a preparedness kit of some sort, which would be items.
A kit of some kind.
That would just be the items that you would need in case that, you know, the power went out for a couple of days, you know, the things that you would absolutely need to survive. And that'd be things like water and extra food, you know, can opener to open your food that's probably not electric powered.
Right. Non-perishable food.
Non-perishable food. You know, you're supposed to have the water should be, it's 1 gallon of water per person for 3 days. So if you have three people in your home, that'd be 9 gallons of water that
you
should
goodness.
Have.
Oh, my goodness. So it's 3 gallons a day per person?
Yes.
That's for cleaning as well as drinking, I guess.
And right? hygiene.
And hygiene, yeah.
And things like that. So you need to kind of think about all of these, you know.
Wow, where do people keep it? Do you know anybody who has, do either of you know anybody who has that kind of?
I actually do know of a person.
Really?
Who's waiting for the
apocalypse,
I believe. So, yeah, I think people do that. And they have the food. I mean, yeah. And then they
I mean, that just seems like a lot of water.
It does, but, you know, and actually, for whatever reason, my husband seems to store a lot of water. I don't know what that's about.
Huh.
He fills
so put it in the big old cans like they used to, to find at the school?
He refills up the 2-liter bottles.
Oh, okay.
And does, he, you know, he says he does it for the cats because he doesn't like to go back downstairs to water the cats or whatever, feed them.
I don't understand.
I don't know. But we actually have a lot of water stored in our house.
I assume you have to water cats, but I water the dogs, and I figure the cats are going to deal with that.
Yeah, I guess.
The cats will go to the dog water. That's fine by me.
But there are people that keep the bottles that are sealed and stored, and they keep food. And you know,
so you store it inside.
And you need to keep medicine for 3 days.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
And then also, like, you know, some tools and things that you might need. Gloves, flashlights, batteries. Radios.
And this is
like
this is even different from your car, your preparedness for a car.
Right. Right. We would, you know, we would also recommend that you have something in your car because especially when it comes to wintertime and, you know, severe weather, you could get stranded very easily. Mm-hmm. It's happened, you know, I think last year, I think it even happened where people got
stranded
again.
On 64, right?
So, you know, you want to be able to have something to eat in that time and you want a blanket so you can stay warm. You know, batteries are a big thing because people put batteries in. You have to check and make sure your batteries are good. It's just like you do the every, as the time changes, you change the batteries in your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide.
Yes.
You know, that's been for the last few years, that's the thing that they always say is, you know, check your batteries when you change your clocks and all of that. It's the same for your kit. Make sure your batteries are good because if you have a flashlight in there without batteries, that's not having a flashlight.
It's useless.
Yeah, it's not a flashlight. It's a paperweight then.
And, you know, now they make these solar powered, but they also make these crank powered radios that you can you crank them up and they generate enough power. They can even charge a cell phone.
I think you can do that with flashlights too. With those
and flashlights, yeah. And you know, radios, and so you can run it basically on that crank power. So those are the kind of things that we, you know, we recommend that you have.
What kind of materials do you have at the health department to inform folks about preparing for disaster? I'll bet you've got brochures and all kinds of stuff.
We do, and that's one of the things that we do at the Fall Fun Fest. You know, it always coincides with Preparedness Month, so we always try and put that out there. We do actually have this year for Preparedness Month. We're going to be giving away some of Red Cross radios with the cranks.
You're giving away crank and radios.
We are giving away crank and radios.
We'll put them all on 104.9, I guess.
There you go. We'll preset them.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
We'll have those out that we're going to be giving away. But we also have we've been doing for this year also this registry for special needs to try and, you know, get people to sign up for
the functional needs registry.
Right. And part of that, we'd got a small little grant from University of Illinois at Chicago, and it required surveys, so we need people to fill out surveys to determine how prepared they are. So we'll kind of be giving away different prizes and different things along with those surveys. And
what are some of the other little prizes you're going to give away, Catherine?
Oh, gosh, we've got...
Pat's been dominating the conversation.
That's okay.
Give you a chance to talk.
We've got DEET in like little packets. Little travel packets. We've got
They're like wipes.
That. They're like wipes. For that, we've got ice scrapers, which you need in your car.
See, now that's the thing. You guys, thankfully, your AirTex and the union, they used to have that table there on the end. It always had the fly swatters and stuff to give away, and ice scrapers, and you've filled a niche.
We filled a niche,
Catherine. That's wonderful. That's exactly
Oh,
right.
Gosh, I don't know. We've got several other things to give away. I'm not even sure. Pins and
ponchos
and different, yeah.
We actually have some little travel emergency kits for your car.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Those are, they actually have in them, it's really funny. I took some to Kids in Motion last year,
right.
Or this past summer to show them, opened them up, and they have water that's in little bags, like, you know how you buy
bagged water?
Yeah.
It's like in a freeze-dried,
You know the Sunny D's where you have you stick the straw
Capri
in it?
Sun. Yeah,
Capri Sun. That's the word I was looking for, Capri Sun. So they have little water packets in there like that, and they have little hard brick kind of freeze-dried food.
Really?
Those are perfect for an emergency. They're kind of like a wafer.
Are they gross?
The kids ate them.
Really?
Yeah, they liked them.
No kidding.
I don't know what that's about. I actually didn't try them.
You didn't?
I let them try them.
I sacrificed for the good
of the kids.
That's very, very nice of you to let the kids have the food.
Which is what would happen in an emergency.
Exactly. I wouldn't be getting it then either. So, but we're giving away, we have probably about, probably 20 of those. We got those from the IPHA last year.
So we're teaching kids how to get ready to have MREs. And
exactly.
That kind of.
And that's exactly what I tried to tell them. I said, this is no different from what I had in the Army in the desert. You know, this is actually maybe a little better than some of the food I had in the desert, 25 years ago.
That's amazing. So, that's amazing. Yep. Well, the kids need to know.
But we have lots of good stuff for people to come and stop by our booth and see. And
we're talking to I'm talking to Pat Scarborough along with Catherine Singleton about disaster preparedness, and I can't let you get away, and I'm going to ask you, and we could talk about it now. You can talk about it for the next 25 minutes if you like. The disaster preparedness that I got to wonder about is the gigantic elephant in the room of disasters is the state budget not going through.
Absolutely.
And how does that affect the Wayne County Health Department, and how does that affect your portion of what you folks do out there in particular?
Well, first of all, Wayne County Health Department, we are a county organization.
Right.
We are, part of our revenue comes from tax dollars. Part of it comes from revenue from the services that we perform. But the majority of our money comes from federal grants.
Okay.
And they pass through the state. So the state is in control of our money.
So the federal grants are sent to the state of Illinois.
Yeah, they're passed through grants.
Dispersed.
So like the WIC grant, the
Navigator grant, everything
that basically most of our services come through the state.
Uh-huh.
And we're funded through their federal grants that come through the state. The state is in control of the money.
Right.
That money is tied up in the budget impasse right now. So. Starting with the new fiscal year, we have not received that money from the state.
I'm gonna say I had a press release from where is it? The office of the Illinois Comptroller. Munger says nonprofits are and will remain. Let me find it here. Nonprofits are and will remain a top priority. So as they have been a top priority, you still haven't gotten your money at all from them.
No, we're still waiting for money, and we just it's a really big issue. I mean, we have operating money to use, but our services are going to be affected. They're starting to be affected. Other health departments in our region,
yeah,
in the Marion region.
What are you seeing elsewhere?
Effingham County, even last month, had already cut their services. Had to lay some people off and have cut their hours and went down to basics. The Franklin Williamson Bi-County Health Department had cut employees last month. I think maybe
that's
Jackson
a big,
County.
That's a lot of people.
So a lot of you're starting to see that. And actually, and it's trickling down.
45,000 people probably.
And it's trickling down. And even for us, just this week, starting next week, we're cutting our hours at the health department.
Yeah.
We're cutting our operating hours will be from 8:30 to 5:30.
You had been 7 to 6, right?
We had been from 8 to 6.
8 to 6.
And we're going to be closed from noon to 1.
So
okay, closing
so
noon.
So there's it's not a paid lunch hour now. So you're closed from noon to 1, 8:30 to noon, and then 1 to 5:30.
And the thing is, the money is there, right? As I understand it,
the pass-through money is there. Yeah, and that's
what's frustrating
about. But just the way the budget is going, we are a service organization. We are providing services, health department services. It's going out and doing food inspections. Immunizations.
You can't say shots?
Clark doesn't like that.
Oh, okay.
That's a scary word.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It scares kids when you say that.
Ah,
So okay. When you say vaccination or immunization, it's not as scary.
So, but we, you know, provide immunization, provide WIC, which is, you know, food for pregnant moms and, uh-huh. And kids, babies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those services are all things that we, you know, that's so much of what
a
we do.
A major part of what you
right.
folks do.
Right.
Out
you know,
there.
And it's helping our community. And those services are, you know, at risk in the budget impasse.
Do you, I guess it's frustrating for you guys probably more than anybody or as much as anybody.
I think it's frustrating in the sense that, you know, we still have people, we still have appointments on the books. We still have to, you know, we still have to have our vaccinations.
Right.
You know, the
so come get your flu shot.
Yeah. Do you have flu
vaccination?
Do you have flu vaccine?
We have flu vaccine. Yes,
just
we do.
Started.
Has that
just
started
today?
Okay.
Or yesterday?
Yeah. Yesterday.
You say you sent me the thing.
Flu clinics. Yeah.
The flu clinic thing. Mm-hmm. Have we gotten that on the website yet?
Yes.
It'll
it's
be
there.
On our website.
It's there.
Okay.
No, I saw it.
Yeah. Okay. So our flu clinics did start yesterday. We have walk-ins, and then we have some scheduled throughout the time. But even in those, I mean, you know that we have staff. Need staff to do that, and we have to pay them, and you know
right.
we can go for a little bit longer. Clark's, you know, he's a good money manager, and he's working on how we're going to make that happen. But you know, even for us, I mean, it's, you know, we've had to reduce our services, so that's a direct hit, and that's a direct cause.
Well, you know,
the
that's the other tricky thing. Also, like you say, you've cut the noon hour.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And folks, when they work, they might be sometimes the only chance they've
right.
got to get out to.
So,
you.
You know, we're cutting there, and then we're cutting, you know, an hour off, half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening.
Right.
So we're losing 2 hours of our service
losing
day.
8 a week.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's being cut back eight hours.
So that's, you know, that really affects people being able to come in, you know.
Sure.
So that's a concern for us. And, you know, we really would love to have a budget passed. And
what can you do, or what can any one person do to help get the budget passed? I mean, Bruce Rauner is the governor, and he'd probably listen to any letter he gets from anybody. He'd listen to one from you as much as me.
Exactly.
Right.
I think it's a thing we would hope that
David
people
Rice
have,
would probably actually respond to you.
I think that
right.
we hope that people have that concern, because we're not the only ones in this position, you know,
right.
There's other federal or state workers and state, you know,
the folks who seem to run the budget side there. Everybody lives in Chicago. How are the health departments doing up there? Do you hear stories?
We actually
haven't heard anything.
We just really hear about the rural area and our region,
yeah,
and the things that are happening and the way that different programs and a lot of stuff has just had to been cut back. And you know, things that we would do, like we would normally, this is a new school year, we would normally start it in into going into the schools and doing
yeah.
some education and stuff like that. That stuff right now we can't do until we get the budget.
Because you don't have the materials.
Well,
we don't have the personnel.
Don't have the personnel or
yeah,
the
we were gonna bring on a new AmeriCorps person starting in September. We've had
mm-hmm.
to put that off.
You already got it picked out?
Yeah, we already had them picked and ready to go.
They're ready to go, huh?
Yeah.
But that we'll have to wait, and hopefully in January we can bring that person on. But it's things like that, and that's, you know, these are things that as a health department that we want to be able to do and serve, and our hands are tied right now.
Yeah.
So
everybody else's, I guess. That's
yeah,
the
exactly.
That's
yeah.
the deal.
So I think what people
that's
could
the frustrating
do is,
part.
What people can do then is they can be concerned about it and realize, wait a minute, this is going to affect me at some point, and make a call, you know, call your legislator.
You know, the thing is, David Rice and Dale Ryder, they're probably wanting to get it done.
Well, absolutely.
And everybody's wanting to get it done, but there's like two or three people who aren't getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, unfortunately, not in their district, so that's why I'm saying, whenever they start feeling that's why I was asking about Cook County,
mm-hmm.
whenever they might start feeling the pinch
right.
up there, it gets a little closer to home. Folks might realize a little bit more about what's
yeah.
going on because both sides of the issue live in Cook County. You've got Bruce Rauner, the governor, and Mike Madigan. They're both living in Chicago.
Exactly.
Now, what do you do? I've got Pat Scarborough here along with Catherine Singleton from the Wayne County Health Department. We're talking about Disaster Preparedness Month, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and what else is going on out at the Wayne County Health Department when we return on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. You don't want to see that. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I'm Bruce Dickey. I've got guests across the way, Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton here, talking about Disaster Preparedness Month. We've talked a little bit about what you do at home. What is there? Are there different things businesses can do, or do you guys, look that direction?
No, we look at wherever you're at, whether it be at home, in your car, you know, at work, even in your church, anything like that. You should always be aware of what you would do in that situation. And, you know, for work, you can have your own emergency kit for work. But you can also kind of think about, you know, you start to think about what's your fire evacuation plan. What's your...
Seems like 25 years ago, you know, we had that's when the Ivan Browning earthquake thing, there everybody...
Right.
Everybody got together and put together a preparedness plan about, like I said, 25 years ago. And I wonder if anybody still has that.
I don't know.
Well, probably not.
And
but that's...
Actually, the way that the businesses are... You know, they're encouraged to continue to have, you know, some sort of plan in place. You know, you have to have one. Like for us, we have one if we have people in.
To have one probably for different things.
Right.
Whether you have customers there or not.
We have what's called an all hazards plan. So we have a, you know, within that, it covers every different type of emergency.
Right.
You know, if it's what you, because we have people that come in. You know, when you're a business, you have people that come in, they're not familiar with where they would go if a tornado was coming or something. So we have to be, as a, you know, as a business, to know what we would do. And everybody knows where do we take people, what do we do, how to respond.
And right now, you're probably coming into kind of a busier part of your year, aren't you, out there, Catherine?
Absolutely.
You're getting, got what's going on out there that would bring in more people?
We have our flu vaccine here. Our adult flu vaccine is in. Our children's vaccine will come a little later, but our adult flu vaccine is in, and people can walk in and get their flu immunization. Just come on in. We bill most insurances. They can come. It's like I said, it's just walk in. Adults don't need to make an appointment. They can just come on in, get their flu.
Are you going to have clinics of any kind in particular?
We are going to have clinics. We're going to have some children's clinics in October and in November, and I believe one in December. And then we also have some off-site clinics that are going to take place. There's going to be one at the Farm Bureau. There's going to be one at the courthouse. We'll be in Sisney and Mount Erie and over in Wayne City. So we're going to, you know, try to get the whole county covered as far as that goes. And so yeah, you can come to the health department, you can come to one of the clinics, whatever will work best for you is what we're trying to do.
How successful is the flu vaccination program, do you think?
Oh, it for us is very successful as far as getting people in and things like that. And I think that the vaccine is...
I meant effective, yeah.
Yeah, I think the vaccine is effective. I mean, like they say, they never know quite which strain of flu is going to be...
That's the intriguing part about it to me, Catherine, is that the flu vaccine that they're putting out, it's not just for one strain, is it?
It's kind of to catch it all. So
it's a cocktail.
It's kind of a cocktail. They don't know exactly which one's going to be the big one for this year, but they, you know, with educated guesses and things like that, they do what their best they can. And for the most part, it is very effective, and it keeps the, you know, it keeps the epidemics down, or at least
controlled.
Right.
What other vaccinations will you be having? I know you have the pneumonia out there too, right?
Sometimes. We have pneumonia shots. We have the shingles shots, which are
now that's
huge.
Non-seasonal.
Those aren't seasonal. No, you
is
come
pneumonia
out and get those.
Seasonal?
Nope.
How long does it last?
Pneumonia. Once you take it as an adult, that's a one-time deal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Now, they have changed some pneumonia, and they've added, there's a new pneumonia shot that they're suggesting that people get because it covers just a little bit more. You know, I think it's called Prevnar 13, I think is the name of it. And so some doctors are suggesting that their patients go get that, even if they've gotten the pneumonia shot before. This covers a little bit more. We have the shingles shot, which is, you know, personally, I can't wait till I'm old enough to get the shingle shot, and my insurance will pay for it because I don't want any part of having shingles.
Yeah, you've seen it, haven't you?
I've seen it. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
We also have, you know, if you're traveling, we have the typhoid shot out there, and we have the yellow fever shot. And so I said the wrong words. We have the typhoid vaccine and the yellow fever vaccine.
Immunization.
Those.
Where
you
would
need
that
to,
be traveling to? I mean, where do you need the typhoid?
Well, anytime,
just going to somewhere that, where the water's not good, I guess?
Well, anytime you travel out of the U.S., you need to make sure that you're caught up on any kind of vaccines.
Great point. All right. I've got two trips coming up.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to the U.K.
Okay.
And I'm going to be going to maybe Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be going to Jamaica here within the next year.
Okay.
What am I going to need?
You need to go to the CDC website and type in.
If I have to go to the CDC, that's in Atlanta. I don't want to go down there.
No, you go to their website, cdc.gov.
Okay.
And you type in where you're going to go, and they will show you what
recommended
vaccines are.
And you guys would have those?
We have typhoid. And we have yellow fever.
Okay.
Those are the only two that we have now. And if you
those
want
are the
those,
most common,
those are the most common.
Need.
Will I need mad cow?
No.
I'm not a cow.
You're not a cow. And I don't know that there is a vaccine for mad cow.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know either. I guess.
And mostly if you're traveling to more
populated areas,
yeah. You're okay. But
developed
you just,
nations,
Does Jamaica count? As a developed nation?
That's why you need to check with the CDC.
All tourism, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of what we did so far with the travel vaccinations are people that were going on mission trips.
Yeah.
Different churches and things like that. It's a good service for
heading
them.
Heading down to Central America.
Africa.
Yeah.
Places like that.
Even going on like safari in South Africa, which it would be considered, more of a developed country, there are still vaccines, as they suggest, that you get.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Going to deepest, darkest Africa where there are probably mosquitoes the size of somebody's fist.
Right. And the suggestion may be that you take like malaria pills, like preventive pills.
Mm-hmm. We like don't that. Have that, but you would still need to know.
And
what are malaria pills? Are they quinine or something like that?
I think so. You take them for a certain amount before you go and a certain amount after you come home.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when's the first flu clinic? When are we starting the flu clinics? Off the top of your head. Oh, boy, you ought to see her face right now. She is really
thinking hard. They start in September. I believe the first one is the 22nd. Fairway Apartments and High-Rise Apartments, there will be flu clinics at both of those.
That's the important thing. You guys get out and do these clinics at the elderly homes, don't you? There,
right. And those are the people that are most, children and our senior adults are the ones that are the most susceptible to the flu. And so you want to make sure you get them. But adults are also susceptible, and the adults are the caretakers, so you want to get out and get that flu vaccine so that, if you're taking care of someone, you're not, transmitting or...
Is there a chickenpox vaccine?
Well, that's what the shingles is for adults. I mean, the shingles is a type of... is part of the
right.
chickenpox strain.
Right.
For kids, it's called varicella.
And for kids, it's varicella.
Okay.
And you have to have that to go to school.
Okay. The reason I ask is because there's a baseball team that's...
Right, I saw that.
Hit by chickenpox.
Our Kansas City Royals, is that correct?
Yeah, that's Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
That is, that's
kind of scary.
That's quite scary, especially here in a pennant race.
Right, right. And that's a 2-week,
good thing they're 12 games up.
2-week incubation kind of period. But yeah, there's varicella, and it's a 2-shot series.
And actually, just within the last month at U of I, they had the
mumps.
The mumps. And they've been doing extra clinics up there to try and
And we have that, too.
That.
They can come and get the booster, the MMR, right. What would be the MMR-3 at ours. And we've had some U of I students come out and get theirs before they go back.
Yeah.
Well, how long does the MMR last? Because usually you take it like once or twice when you're a kid and you're
usually,
done.
Usually you don't have to have a booster.
They don't really understand, I don't think, what quite is going on up there because most of the students that are affected had both vaccines. But they're suggesting that booster... That third booster shot.
Wow.
Vaccine.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming
out. You're
welcome.
Thanks for having anything
us. Anything else you'd like to mention? You're running out of time.
Visit us at the Fall Fun Fest.
Visit the Wayne County Health Department at the Fall Fun Fest. That sounds
and
like it's late.
Check out our Facebook page.
And come get your flu vaccine.
Come get the flu vaccine and immunization out at the Wayne County Health Department.
That's
Thanks
right.
for coming on, ladies.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to y'all again
thank
real
you.
Soon.